This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Parade in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to our Subway Fresh studio inside Gillette Stadium on the eve of the Patriots' Week 7 encounter with the New York Jets. Once again, meeting here in late October, as they've done the last couple of years. Once again, on a Thursday night, as they've done the last couple of years, the Patriots and their division foe from the New York metropolitan area. I always want to say when the Pats play at the Jets, you're tempted to say they're going to New York, but of course, as we know, it's in East Rutherford, the New Jersey-based New York Jets. Nonetheless, a team that we've watched battle the Patriots, of course, so many years as AFC East rivals, and this season and gearing up for this encounter on a Thursday night, figured at season's outset to be a marquee matchup for CBS and the NFL Network, and lo and behold, while the Patriots seemingly have gotten in gear the last couple of weeks with their convincing wins over Cincinnati and Buffalo to reclaim the top spot by their lonesome in the division, the Jets sit at 1-5, and New York has gone through a gauntlet of outstanding quarterbacks thus far this season, encountering another in Tom Brady tomorrow night. And the Jets have lost 5 in a row. It's their longest losing skid since 2007, when Eric Mangini was the head coach. And these New York Jets have been beset by a lot of different issues, number one being an inefficient offense, but also a secondary that's far from what we've been accustomed to seeing under Rex Ryan, who, of course, not too long ago may have had the best tandem of cornerbacks when he took them on their hole in the NFL, certainly the best, who now resides in Foxborough. That would be Darrelle Revis, who was complimented, of course, when the Jets went to back-to-back AFC Championship games by Antonio Cromartie. But the Patriots, the story of our focus, of course, entering into this matchup tomorrow night, first and foremost, the Pats, as noted, at 4-2, in sole possession of first place in the AFC East after beating the Buffalo Bills by the 37-22 final at Orchard Park on Sunday afternoon. And Tom Brady certainly started to stride in the right direction with the Pats offense against Cincinnati the previous Sunday night. The Patriots, however, encountered a loss on the offensive line going into Orchard Park against a very good defensive line from Buffalo without rookie Brian Stork, the center who had started the previous two games. Dan Conley, of course, went down early in that contest, relatively speaking, with a head injury. And yet the Patriots were able to shore things up, made adjustments on the offensive front in the second half especially, and Brady in the offense with a lot of big plays in the passing game. And while the Bills did an excellent job of containing New England's running game, albeit, of course, with Stephen Ridley lost to injury in the second half, something we'll touch on in a moment, still, Brady, for a guy who was criticized and scrutinized extremely heavily and extremely closely the previous few weeks, was at his Brady best on Sunday afternoon for the most part. 361 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, throwing the deep ball with precision, including a strike to Brian Timms, who made a sensational play, but it was an excellent throw over several defenders, and a strike to Rob Gronkowski, hitting the Bills with a long ball to the big tight end down the right sideline, and several other big passing plays to Brad and LaFell. In fact, by day's end, 3 different Patriot receivers had 90-plus yards in Sunday's game, and meanwhile, the Patriot defense, sparked by Revis in the back end and Vince Wilfork up front, the 11th-year defensive tackle for the Pats, may have had his best game, not only of this season, but really the last couple of years, albeit in a season in 2013 shortened by injury. Still, he was fantastic up front for the Patriots, and Revis helped to shut down Sammy Watkins for the most part. And the Patriots defense as a whole had 3 more takeaways against the Buffalo Bills, and again win it in a 37-22 final, really convincingly scoring on all but their final possession in the second half. When you look at the second half, the Patriots scored every time they had their hands on the ball, with exception of the victory formation at the game's conclusion when Brady kneeled down a couple of times and the Patriots celebrated their victory over Buffalo on a day when Orchard Park was charged up with the Bills, now the property of owner Terry Pegula. He was unanimously approved last Wednesday by his fellow NFL owners. The Bills were claiming it was going to be a reopener. Fans amped up at the outset. The Bills vying for a 2-0 start, trying to end a string of 9 straight losing seasons. And again, the Patriots winning by the 37-22 final score. As for the Jets, as we talked about, it's a team in the midst of a losing skid. 5 consecutive losses for New York, but the Jets have gone up against some outstanding quarterbacks. They had a big lead on Green Bay, lost to Aaron Rodgers and company. And in that game, of course, there was the timeout taken before Geno Smith threw what would have been a game-tying touchdown. And thereafter, the Packers holding on to win that contest. The Jets then faced Jay Cutler and his weapons, and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte. Then it was Matthew Stafford, and then it was Phillip Rivers in a 31-0 blowout at the hands of the San Diego Chargers, and more recently a 2-touchdown disparity in the end against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Manning hooking up repeatedly with the two Thomases. The Jets still showing some fight, playing hard under their beleaguered head coach Rex Ryan. They pulled within a touchdown, but the game ended when Aqib Talib sealed it with a pick six against Geno Smith, the former Patriot running it in for a score. Remember, it was Talib last year on a Thursday night who had a couple of picks against Geno Smith, including one that sealed the contest when the Patriots wound up splitting their season series with New York in 2013. I've shared some of my numbers that stand out and names that come to mind first and foremost in Sunday's game, but let's take a listen, if we can, to the highlights and to some sound bites as well. In the aftermath of the Patriots' victory in Orchard Park Sunday afternoon, compliments of our producer, Kevin Collins.
Orton drops back, fires down the middle, picked off. Ball is intercepted by Jamie Collins. Shotgun snap to Orton, hit the whistle by Chandler Jones, who had the sack and the recovery.
Had some big plays on defense, turnovers. So, again, it was a good team win. A lot of people contributed.
Set up by the Collins interception, a first and goal to go out of the eye. Devlin the fullback with Ridley the tailback. Play fake by Bradley, quick header to the end zone, a catch made, right corner, touchdown, Tim Wright.
It was awesome. It was fun to be out there. Great team win. A lot of guys made a lot of big plays, so that's what we're going to need going forward. It's still early in the year, but great to come and get a tough road win. We knew it was going to be 60 minutes. The guys played their butts off.
4 receivers in the pattern. Play fake by Brady. Steps up. Lost the throw deep down the left side. He's looking for Timms. He reaches out. He makes the catch. Tumbling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Gerard Mayo brought him down. Speaking of Gerard Mayo, he is down on the turf.
And he's holding his right knee.
Patriots leading tackler coming in.
Just slammed his helmet. This doesn't look good.
Again, it was a good team win. A lot of people contributed. Obviously, a little bit bittersweet with Gerard going down.
Now Ridley's hurt.
Yeah, he cut Ridley's right knee.
Is in agony, pounding his right fist on the turf.
But guys got to rally around the guy who steps in there and tries to do a great job. So, you know, it's unfortunate.
Brady has time, throws down the right side for LaFell by his lonesome at the 30 to the 25-20. Brandon out of a tackle. Brandon leaping to the end zone. Brandon with a second touchdown of the day. Patriots, as they've done so often through the years, walk off this field at Ralph Wilson Stadium winners, and today by a 37-22 final.
And again, a job well done by producer Kevin Collins. And Kevin, you were back in Foxborough for that game. How'd you enjoy the Patriots beating the Buffalo Bills as they did, and dampening the spirits of Western New Yorkers who were again amped up at the outset?
Yeah, I felt very much similar to what Bill Belichick felt at the podium after. Sort of a bittersweet victory. You know, happy the team won the game, happy the offense put up 37 points and looked great. I thought the defense, you know, forced some turnovers, had some positive things. You know, Rob Ninkovich definitely finally came to life. But to lose a guy like Mayo, and I know I'm a little biased, I know Ridley's a big loss too, but to lose a guy like Mayo, a guy I know a little bit personally, you know, outside of our role in the media here, it was tough. And you could hear the emotion in Tom Brady's voice in the clip that we played, almost sort of his voice quivering as he says, it's, you know, it's a hard thing to overcome the loss of a guy, a captain, a team leader like that. You know, it's hard. It's going to be hard for them to replace a guy like Mayo in the middle of that defense. And, you know, you always hear about the intangibles that are brought to teams. You know, last year, the Red Sox, a guy like Johnny Gomes, hits 230, doesn't do a heck of a lot, but he's got all these intangibles. Gerard Mayo not only has those intangibles, but has the skill and the smarts to be, you know, a leading tackler, not only for this team, but potentially a top five leading tackler in the league. And he gets knocked around a little bit, maybe, because he's not that Von Miller, that can, you know, that explosive quote-unquote player. But I think if you'd ask Bill Belichick, Vince Wilfork, Matt Patricia, some of the guys that built this defense, Gerard Mayo is a playmaker, and he's going to be hard to replace.
You know, it's an excellent point, because I've heard a lot of that, even in the aftermath of the injury, that Gerard Mayo really doesn't make plays for the Patriots defense. And I think a lot of people miss the point of his value. And you touched on it. He is not only the emotional leader and the quarterback of that defense, the guy who organizes the defense and gets everybody set and also relocates those who are out of position when the defense is called and has to make the adjustments pre-snap defensively. But he's a guy who cleans up for a lot of other people on the field during the course of every play. He's rarely in the wrong position, if ever. He is not, as you mentioned, as dynamic as some. Maybe he's not Dick Butkus, Ray Nitschke, or Ryan Urlacher, you know, in the minds of some around here. And I mention the latter because I think some people, you know, want Mayo to be more involved in interceptions and sacks and fumble recoveries and fumbles forced. But again, he does all of the little things that become significant things extremely well. And you mentioned his coach's appreciation. Yeah. I think his teammates appreciate it. This is a guy who, when he has played a full season, has put in the bank 100-plus tackles. The last 2 years, though, of course, week six has spelled...
Unlucky week.
Yeah, has spelled the end. Last year was the torn pec, and this week it's the knee slash leg injury for Gerard Mayo.
There are a lot of those, Bob, that are now, too... I'll say pondering the future of Gerard Mayo in a Patriot uniform. It's been well publicized the last 3-4 days since the injury. You know, he has a significant cap hit next year. I think it's $10.6 million is a figure that I've heard quite a bit by Tom Curran, our own Andy Hart, a couple of the other guys have brought this up. Kind of pondering the future of number 51 in a Patriot uniform and if he will be back. Most people in the media, including our own PFW guys here this week, Bob, that have had the discussion, seem to think that, you know, Mayo may return, but it's not going to be at that 10.6 cap hit that he's currently scheduled to be at. A lot of people think he's going to need to restructure his deal in some way, similar to the way that they asked Logan Mankins to potentially restructure or take a pay cut in this past training camp. Gerard Mayo, Logan Mankins, two very different guys, personality-wise. Both come from two very different situations. So not saying that Mayo, you know, would be traded in a similar fashion to Mankins, but I think there's definitely probably some work that needs to be done on that number as we head into next year, especially considering Mayo is a guy who's not getting any younger and who's had two season-ending injuries the last 2 years.
You know, it's funny, Kevin, and it is the reality of covering the NFL and being in it, because the contracts in football are so different than in other sports. Baseball, of course, comes to mind for the most part when you're talking about the guaranteed money in that game. But to relay a little bit of a baseball anecdote that really is more about broadcasting and the role of the play-by-play guy when it comes to the economics and the speculation based on economic situations. I remember prior to the baseball strike lockout when the World Series was canceled, early in the 1994 season, I had a chance to be in St. Louis, and I was visiting with the great Vin Scully. And I asked him if he was concerned at all about the situation, the contract coming to an end, the collective bargaining agreement, the lack of an accord by the players' union and Major League Baseball owners at the time, and the fear that the season would shut down. And ultimately, at that time, who knew that the season would be canceled in the end and there would be no World Series. And, you know, he said, well, I don't think about that. I don't talk about the economics in the broadcast, and I don't dwell on the potential negatives. I love the game, and I'm here to broadcast the game, and, you know, for me, I don't talk about contract situations, et cetera. Well, naturally, it's something we have to hit on, and it's part of the reason why I think you feel especially empathic or sympathetic towards Stephen Ridley, because this is a guy who was in the final year of his contract, is in the final year of his contract, and suffers that blow on Sunday. But as the play-by-play guy, I'll leave a lot of that speculation to everybody else. That's my way of saying, you know what? I'm going to worry about the 46 players that I'm told an hour and a half before kickoff tomorrow are active for the Patriots and the Jets. We'll get through tomorrow's game, and then we'll look ahead to the following week. We'll worry about the guys who are going to be here, and as well think about those who are not, and think about those like Mayo and Ridley, again, with a bit of sympathy and empathy, to say the least, considering their circumstances. We have the Patriots practice report. We have the Jets practice report. Compliments of Kevin
Collins. Hot off the presses,
it is,
Bob.
It is. You know, it's still hot to the touch. It's cool enough, however, for me to handle and try to document at least the noteworthy names and expected absences or declared absences. First of all, starting with the Patriots. And again, this is one of the dilemmas you face in the short week. You don't have a lot of time to practice, and you certainly do not have time to recover. And for a couple of Patriot players, this will be a third consecutive week when they are declared out, and they would be Nate Ebner, special teams ace, and Cameron Fleming, the offensive lineman, who had just been inserted in Kansas City, but like Ebner, has a finger injury and is not going to be on the field tomorrow. He is inactive. His game status declared out for the Patriots after not participating in practice this week. Same goes, of course, for Jerod Mayo and Stephen Ridley. Moving down the list, Brandon Browner seemed very optimistic yesterday about his likely participation, but right now, after limited participation in the last 3 days in practice, he is listed as questionable for tomorrow night's game. Same goes for linebacker Jamie Collins and offensive lineman Dan Connolly dealing with a concussion. At defensive lineman Dominique Easley, dealing with the shoulder issue that surfaced a couple of weeks ago against Cincinnati on top of an earlier existing knee problem. Dante Hightower's missed the last two games for the Patriots. He is questionable. Then there's Matthew Sletter, a shoulder injury for him, questionable after limited participation. And Brian Storick, the center who missed last week's game because of a concussion. He has not participated in practice this week, and right now his status is questionable, though that's, of course, of great concern, considering that he did not practice the last 3 days. Tom Brady, probable. The quarterback was questionable going into Buffalo. And then there's Chandler Jones with a shoulder issue and Devin McCourty with the rib problem. Both of those guys dealing with those ailments in particular in Cincinnati, in the Cincinnati game, both are probable for tomorrow night. As for the New York Jets, they've got two guys declared out, former Patriot wide receiver Greg Sells, who was here for a cameo a couple of years ago, and linebacker Trevor Riley. Safety Josh Bush is doubtful. And certainly more than probable to be in the starting lineup in our broadcast booth tomorrow night as my partner on the Patriots Radio Network and flagship station 98.5, The Sports Hub, is none other than former Patriot quarterback Scott Zolak, who's called in. Zo, once again, thanks for your time. How are you today?
Oh, I'm limited considering the short week. So I'll be playing a little hurt tomorrow night. You know, got to work during the day, 10 to 2, do our show, and then get my car and drive all the way back to Foxborough in the rain. So I'll be limping as I walk in.
Wait a minute, you're working tomorrow in the morning and afternoon?
Yep. So you'll love this one. Andy Gresh also has to work. Then he's got to do a 3-hour post pregame. Then he's got to do a 3-hour postgame. And then we got to work Friday.
Oh, my. Who negotiated your contracts?
No, that's because we just went on the other place. So we'll knock it out of the park this week. It's big football week for our station. So there's no other way I would want it to be than to be on air pregame, game day, and then postgame after this one.
I agree, and especially with the New York Jets in town. Jets are struggling at 1-5. Rex Ryan was asked yesterday by the Patriots media about his dysfunctional team, and he took exception to that term. I said we're not dysfunctional, despite what it might appear to you guys. What are your thoughts about these Jets in tomorrow's game?
Well, I think if they had some good quarterback play, that they might be a, you know, I don't want to say a 4-2 team or a 5-1 team, but I think they'd at least be a .500 team. I think, you know, they can't find a quarterback right now, and I think that's a big problem. You know, Michael Vick, I thought maybe he should have started the season, and I think that's the tough thing is that, you know, when you elect to go with a guy like Geno Smith, and if you pull him and you think Vick's the answer, it's hard to ever go back to Geno. You know, so I thought, boy, you go in the offseason, you get Vick to come in, kind of solidify some things, and maybe stabilize the situation. I'm not saying Mike Vick's the answer, Bob, but I think he would stabilize the situation if you told him in camp, hey, you're the man, instead of keeping it an open competition, but based on player reps, you knew that Geno Smith was going to start at the beginning of the year, and I think that's where they erred first. I think the head coach and John Idzik, the general manager, have split decisions on as to who the starting quarterback should be.
Well, so Rex Ryan got a contract extension last year after the 8-8 finish, but not a lot of job security because it's fully guaranteed only through next season. So right. Although Woody Johnson is a rather thrifty NFL owner in comparison to his peers, nonetheless, he wouldn't have to eat a lot of money if Ryan goes. And as you noted, Ryan is not Itzik's guy. Smith is Itzik's quarterback, not Ryan's.
Right.
You're on an organization that has had such stability for such a long time. When you see a team like that from the outside, is there any way for it, in your view, to succeed in the short term, let alone the long term?
I mean, you look at the year they had last year. They really fought, and I thought Rex did a heck of a job to coach that team up where, you know, you remember where he was kind of tearing up, saying the team was, you know, their shot was gone to make the playoffs. But, you know, to fight back and to get things equal to where it was, yeah, that's a heck of a coaching job by Rex. See, I like Rex Ryan. I think he's good for the National Football League, but I like the Rex Ryan of 3 years ago. The Rex Ryan that you hear now isn't the Rex Ryan that, you know, you play some of the audio and sound bites from, you know, when he had the Bart Scotts, the Darrell Revises. And it's interesting, the whole Revis thing. I mean, Idzik's the one that made that deal happen with Tampa. And, yeah, there was some reports that Revis wanted to go back to New York, but that was never going to happen. And thank goodness he ended up in New England. So we got him in Foxborough. That's end of discussion there. But, hey, if they pop Rex, that guy, and, you know, there's going to be 15 teams knocking on that guy's door, picking up the phone to call him to either be their defensive coordinator or an interview to be their head coach. I think Rex is a heck of a coach. I like him. I think he's good for the league. He reminds me a little bit of Bill Parcells. I think that's why I like him.
Well, I don't think anybody would dispute Rex Ryan is a great defensive coach. What do you expect from him tomorrow night?
He's got to design something to get to Tom, because as you watch the Buffalo game, the big thing, you know, when the Patriots have won these last two games is to keep Tom Brady protected. If you get to him, like any other quarterback and all other 31 in the league, whether it's Manning, whether it's, you know, Breeze, you know, Phillip Rivers now, you know, it's, yeah, you hit them, they're mortal. They are human. He's got to find a way to put pressure on Brady. Their bread and butter is the front seven. You know, talking to Bill, head coach, you know, Bill Belichick this week, there's a lot of first and second round guys, maybe at least five first round. Sorry about that. Just dropped my phone. Five first round guys up front, you know, guys like Copels, you know, you got Muhammad Wilkerson and company, you know, David Harris, all these guys, they're big guys. They're a physical front seven. Buffalo was too. So yeah, I think you got to commend, Coach Dave DeGuglielmo too for, kind of solidifying things up front. And here we are again. I heard you read the injury report right there on hold. You know, who knows what's happening with the Stork? You know, Dan Conley, not a good sign that he got another concussion here in his career. So there's a lot of things in play with the interior of this offensive line again going into tomorrow night.
Speaking of the offensive line and the injuries, in your mind, what did the Patriots do well in the second half after struggling to close out the first half trying to protect Brady?
What's that again, Bob? Sorry.
Well, the Patriots were certainly struggling late in the second quarter to protect Tom Brady, as we know, after Conley went down playing without Stork. What did they do differently as an offense, and in particular the line, in the second half? They scored on every possession in the second half except for the last victory formation series.
I thought the backs did a heck of a job. You know, I think it started, you know, once Stephen Ridley got, you know, obviously, you know, his season ended, and that's a sad, sad thing. I thought he was running hard. I thought he really fought hard to get back and correct some of his issues as far as the fumbling. And I like Stephen. I think he's a good kid. But you started to see Shane Vereen be offset to Brady's right side, and then he started to kind of, you know, satellite block. When you satellite block, you're kind of scanning, you're looking right to left, and you come across the formation, and if Solder's having problems, he chipped him. And I saw Brandon Bolden on that 3rd and 14, I think it was the Gronkowski, the one over the middle, where Rob went down to catch it. Bolden just stoned the defensive tackle, who came in at about 315 pounds. So when you got backs that could get up under the pad level of bigger guys, that only is going to make this quarterback more confident, this line more confident. And it's not to say, hey, you double-team people. And you've got to be careful when you're a running back not to knock that defender off the offensive lineman. A lot of offensive linemen like to dance with the guy. When you say dance, you get the hands out, you get them extended, you get your feet up under you. But think about it. They're big guys, and, you know bullets are flying. And I'm sorry to use that terminology, but, you know, you're out there, everything's flying around you. The last thing you want to do is have a back hitch in the back or knock the guy off you and kind of compromise your balance. But I thought the backs... And that's a credit to Ivan Fierce, too, running backs coach, for coaching those guys up. And that's communication with Brady and those guys, too, pointing the mic out, setting protection, and everybody hearing the calls in pretty much a hostile environment.
Our guest is former Patriot quarterback Scott Zolak, my partner on the radio broadcast. And Zoe, Tom Brady's been hearing it a lot the last couple of weeks, or maybe he hasn't been hearing it, but we have. And
yeah, he's been hearing it.
And you watched him throw the deep ball with tremendous precision to Timms, to Gronk, to LaFell on Sunday against Buffalo. Is that as good as you've seen Brady the last couple of years? I mean, when people say, has Tom Brady declined, is that the performance you point to and say, no, he hasn't?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, I do a sports talk show. And, you know, part of the shtick, and I don't want to say shtick, but what makes those things go is negativity that drives shows. Whether, you know, the team's not doing well, you have a ton of interest, and everybody's got an answer to it. And, of course, they're having issues in the first three games of the season. But never once did I look and say, boy, that quarterback's the issue. I've watched him too long. He's the same guy, prepares the same way, the approach is the same way. And just go back and look at the 30-7 win against the Vikings where he came out and he's unhappy. He's unhappy because the standard at which the offense was playing at was unacceptable to him. And people had real problems thinking that, you know, he doesn't like fantasy numbers. And I think this fantasy thing's really starting to tick me off. I think it skews the way people watch the game. I think some people just watch the game for fantasy football now. That really irritates me. But you look at Brady and you look at the throw to Timms. Initially, I'm thinking, okay, he put that up in double coverage. I went back and watched that game. There was only one spot he could have put that ball. And if you see the safety sit, you know, Coach Belichick, you watch All Access tonight at 7 o'clock. We look at that play and you see the safety sit, and that's an indicator for Brady that I'm going over the top. And Timms did a heck of a job to get inside the outside guy. And I think it was Leotis McKelvin. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Brady put the ball over the safety and out to the right and in front of Timms to where he could go get it. If he threw that 2 feet to the left, it's intercepted. 2 feet short, it's intercepted. He put the ball in a spot where only it's the only place that could have been completed. Now, Timms went and got it, and it was a heck of a catch. But if you continue to get that and you see more of the stuff from LaFell where he could catch it and take it to the house and be kind of that strong receiver, that breakaway receiver, it's a whole other dynamic of this offense that we didn't really have 3 weeks ago.
Last year, Gronk came back against the New York Jets in Week 7.
Yep.
We may have seen Gronk come back in a different sense against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Look like the Gronk of old to you?
The second that he was held going down that right seam, you know, at the top of the numbers, where he got up gimpy, where I think he got the wind knocked out of him, made it roll up the leg. But when you're getting held like that and you lay out and you have the confidence in your body that my knees are going to hold up, my elbow and my forearm that was operated on four times basically throughout the course of the last two seasons, the back, you don't lay out like that if you're not confident and if you don't think you're back. That told me that single play right there. Granted, it was an incompletion, but it was a penalty. Tells me 87 is back, and that's a big-time trouble for defenses.
All right, so lastly, we know about Jerod Mayo, Stephen Ridley. How do the Patriots overcome or offset those losses? Two significant parts on defense and offense.
Well, I think Brandon Bolden fits right in, and I've stated it from day one. Everybody's like, why is he on this team? Well, he plays special teams. He's a core teamer, as I said, but also he's the guy to go to if Stephen Ridley gets knocked out or if he's going to have some issues with the fumbling. Brandon runs hard. I think he's capable. He could catch the ball. And they have two other guys. They drafted a guy in White, you know, in the fourth round out of Wisconsin. It's kind of that tweener. He's really Shane Vereen's, you know, step-in type guy. And you got Jonas Gray off the practice squad. So I don't think they look outside. You know, Mayo, that's going to be a tough one. I think Mayo's the tough one because, you know, there's a lot of things that he does that goes unappreciated, kind of what, you know, you watch Vince Wilfork play, and the numbers don't add up. But the policing of things in the middle, it's time for Jamie Collins to get up and start playing. I think he really filled in nicely. You got a mix of guys with Skinner. You know, Brandon Browner's coming back. You know, you got four safeties. I mean, we've seen him run the big nickel. There's multiple things they can do, and I think the fact that they've been diverse is going to help them. It's not going to be perfect, but they did it last year, Bob. It's a resilient team. It's a resilient coaching staff. I think they should be fine.
All right, Zoe, looking forward to calling the game with you tomorrow and looking forward to listening to you early in the day, 10 to 2 on our flagship in Boston, 98.5, the Sports Hub. As Zoe noted, you can see him on All Access with Bill Belichick and the Belistrator coming up tonight on WBZ CBS-TV in Boston, Channel 4, and as well on Patriots.com after it airs on local television here in Boston. So
pretty good stuff. And I got Willie McGinnis. I'm heading over soon to do an interview with Willie from NFL Network. It's going to be good to see him again for the big game. And we're going to get a lot of rain, a lot of bad weather tomorrow night, but it's not going to be cold. So just remember to bring your rain gear, bring your slickers and bring your rubbers and be ready to go.
Absolutely, and rest up your voice because you're going to need it in full throat like it was at Gillette a couple of weeks ago. And also,
yeah,
by the way,
back, buddy.
Ty
drink,
Hall tomorrow night.
All right, pal. Good talking
Zo,
to you.
Thanks
See
so much.
Night.
Scott Zolak, my partner on the radio broadcast, of course, on the Patriots Radio Network and co-host of the Gresh and Zo Show from 10 to 2 weekdays on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. And our thanks to him as he joins us every week here on the Bob Soucy Show on Pats.com. If you'd like to join us as well on the other side of a timeout, dial in to our Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398, 1-855-PATS-500, or email at webradio@patriots.com. More after this on patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium. Of course, it's quiet day right now for the most part. Players at home or running errands, preparing for tomorrow night's game against the New York Jets. The CBS crew, the NFL Network crew here, however, in Mass, they're getting ready for the national television broadcast tomorrow night when the Patriots take on the Jets. And we'll have it for you, of course, on the Patriots Radio Network on our flagship station, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Boston, WBZ-FM. I'll be joined by my last guest, Scott Zolak. And after the game, you can log on to Patriots.com to see locker room video, hear a reaction from the players, hear a recap as well from my partner on Patriots.com on Patriots Today, Jackie Britton, who steps into studio and will be joining me momentarily to talk about tomorrow night's AFC East showdown of the Patriots and the Jets. Of course, as they encounter one another on a Thursday night, and much like last year, it's expected to be a very rainy and windy Thursday tomorrow at Gillette Stadium. So gear up, come out with your rain gear tomorrow night and be ready to go for the Pats and the New York Jets. Also tomorrow night, and it's a much celebrated occasion because not only is it a showdown of the two AFC East rivals, but as well tomorrow night is a Hall of Fame night here at Gillette Stadium. Ty Law, the former Patriot great defensive back, who might have had ties to that other side too in his career. Nonetheless, tomorrow will be honored at Gillette Stadium after being inducted in the Patriots Hall of Fame this past summer. Ty Law, the 22nd inductee into the Patriots Hall of Fame, and Jackie Britton is in studio now. And Jackie, we welcome you aboard. Kevin, do you have her appropriate intro ready?
Yeah, man.
Kevin Collins, our producer.
Stop that now.
Without further ado,
it's time now for a call to the bullpen.
I just can't read.
The Kraft Sports Productions bullpen.
I'm just gonna play.
Time now to welcome in Patriots team reporter Jackie Britton to the Bob Soucy Show.
You know, as we just heard, Jackie, and as I've heard around here too, You're a musician at heart. You're a crooner at heart.
Girls got pipes.
Yeah, you know, that was not the best depiction.
I've heard better.
When I'm really trying, I actually can sing a little bit. If I do, you know, have one talent, maybe that's it. So I don't know. But I'm glad that you got the worst of me here in the bullpen. Sorry. Yeah.
Did you sing a lot? Did you sing in a choir, of course?
I didn't, but I did sing a lot as a kid. And I actually sang, my sister was in a beauty pageant once, and I sang as the intermission, the halftime. I sang on stage. I had there was some Christmas show in my hometown, and I sang on that. So, I guess I do. That was my dream as a kid was to be a female country singer. as opposed to a male country singer, I guess. But I always wanted to be like a country singer and move to Nashville. So that was my thing.
I get your point. My daughter was going to a costume party the other day. She's 2.5 years old, and she wanted to go as a fireman. And I told her, Maria, you don't have to be a fireman. You could be a firewoman or a firefighter. But
there you go.
I want to be a fireman.
I like that, Maria. I like it. Yeah, good for her.
And now, of course, you're trained as a professional using your voice in broadcasting.
Yeah, I know. I like read lyrics and like read them like I'm reading a stand-up, you know? Like, it's not great. Doesn't mix well sometimes.
No. Well, you know, I think it could come in
Maybe
handy.
Maybe I can just start singing my stand-ups. That'd be great. I should have, you know what I would love to do is to have a karaoke contest with Chandler Jones. He's always singing in the locker room whenever we're in there. Like, whenever the media's in there, he's always, you know, singing something. I think that'd be a good, like, little sing-off or something like that.
Well, it's funny. Last week on the show, Patrick Chung, who comes from a musical family, his mother's a reggae singer and his dad a music producer, and Patrick has a great interest and has a foundation devoted in great part to music.
Yeah.
Saw Chandler across the locker room. I asked him, what guys would you take on the road with you? And he said, well, Vince Wilfork would be one. I guess Vince is a very good piano player.
Oh, wow.
But he called out Chandler's name and tried to get Chandler to sing along with him, but Chandler wasn't...
He wasn't budget?
Really?
No, that shocks
me.
He doesn't do it on demand like that?
No, apparently not.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, you mentioned the game tomorrow. And
Yeah,
there is something happening here. And I'm not going to, like, give anything, like, away, really. But if the weather holds up, weather permitting, I'm supposed to be doing two cool interviews in the stadium. So for fans who are coming to the game, there will be some fun interviews happening on the field if you're there to see it in action at Gillette Stadium Thursday night.
See, that is a true professional. You didn't even need to read it to introduce that tease to the audience.
Yeah, I didn't. That's just how I talk. Just talking stutters like that.
Well, tomorrow night you will be talking, and there will be a lot of Patriot dignitaries and Patriot greats in the house.
Right.
Ty Law will be honored. We do know that. That is official.
Right.
Ty Law will be honored as another Hall of Famer for the Patriots.
Yeah, it should
22.
Be an exciting night.
Number 24 becomes the 22nd Hall of Famer. For the Patriots.
How about that?
And of course, another son of Alquippa, Pennsylvania, wearing number 24 as a former New York Jet, will be in the secondary for the Patriots.
That's right.
So let's talk about the game that Ty Law is going to watch first before we get to his induction. What do you think about the Patriots and the Jets? Kind of interesting to see the Jets at 1-5 and Rex Ryan coaching for his job, it seems.
Right.
Geno Smith on a roller coaster at quarterback.
Yeah, a little bit of inconsistency. For me, I know a lot of people are concerned about the defense, how they will respond without Jerod Mayo, especially against a team, you know, with Johnson and Ivory. And then you've got the running backs situation. But for me, it's all about the offensive line. You have Dan Connolly, who didn't practice this week. You've got Brian Stork, who didn't practice this week, both of them dealing with concussions. So again, like, I just have that fear that they're, you know, you're going to be dealing with a lot of, like, offensive line personnel, maybe changes. And I think this game, I think the Patriots have control of this game. It's all going to come down to how well they protect Tom Brady. And I think that that is the only thing that's going to matter. And if they can't do that, then I don't see it going so well. So for me, it's like, yeah, dealing with the injuries on offense, defense, but it's really just, it's about the success of the offensive line. That's all it comes down to for me, is that one thing.
Now, on the flip side, though, the Jets have Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory, neither of whom has been especially productive of late. Johnson, a guy who rushed for 1,000 yards at least in six straight years and had a 2,000-yard season as a Tennessee Titan. Ivory likes to run the ball very well against the Patriots.
Right.
Had a good game to start this season against Oakland. Would you expect the Jets to try to use those two guys with their offensive line against a Patriot defense that's been a bit suspect against the run to keep Tom Brady off the field?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, this game, it kind of like, I think this game is so much different than, you can't really compare it to like when they played the Broncos or whatever. I just think like there's just such a different energy and intensity that comes to this game. And I don't see why, you know, Ivory or Johnson even for that matter can have one heck of a game, you know. And if, I mean, if the defense isn't gelling, you know, depending on like personnel and what you have going on, especially like, you know, stopping the run, like, then I don't see why not. You can't rule it out, you know. But I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a tough one.
All right, Jackie Britton is with us. And, Jackie, of course, the Patriots have been dealing all week with the loss of Stephen Ridley and Jerod Mayo, the running back and linebacker, respectively, because of the injuries on Sunday against Buffalo. What did you hear from the players as the week went along?
Basically just that the next man up mentality is here once again. Thankfully though, if there is going to be a bright side, if there is going to be a silver lining to this, you've got, you've got guys who've been in this situation before. You've got Dante Hightower, who's, another year seasoned, and you've got Jamie Collins, who now is in his second year and, who certainly plays really well. And so, I think that there's something to be said about that, but I think the vibe in the locker room is just like, it's time to move on. And it's kind of a good thing that it's a short week because, there's no time to really sit and dwell. Not that they do, but it's also not a lot of time to figure out who that person's going to be. We talked to Deontay Skinner, today. Dante Hightower spoke highly about him, just saying that he's been playing well and he's, his attitude in the classroom is great. So, I think that they're bummed, but, the vibe is like, hey, we just got to pick up and carry on. And we know this team is good at doing that.
And you noted the short turnaround. These guys have also talked a lot about really taking care of your body.
I don't know
first
how they
foremost,
do it.
Physically taking care of yourself. And also cramming in a lot of mental work in a short period of time.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. They mentioned, like, massages and hot tubs and cold tubs. I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound so bad. But then again, if you're as sore as they are and you get as hit as hard as they do, I can't imagine those massages feel that great. But, yeah, I mean, I would imagine, like, that was one of my questions to Gronk, I think, was just, like, what's bigger, like, the mental game or the physical, like, getting yourself ready physically for this? And he said it's both. I mean, it really does come down to that. But I would just imagine your body just has to be so worn out. I mean, I know because I play football every day, so I know how hard that is to deal with your body. But I would just imagine that's got to be next to impossible to be ready for something that with just such a quick turnaround. I don't know how they're going to do it.
No question.
How anybody does it, really.
Yeah, I mean, what does a broadcaster face after a game? Maybe a little bit of a sore throat.
Yeah, I know.
Tea and honey can help.
Exhaustion. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine actually like physically getting, worn out there.
And you're talking about a physical game that they just played against the Bills and that defense, and now going up against a physical team like the New York Jets. And you mentioned it. It's the Jets and the Patriots. It's not a game where, like with the Broncos and the Patriots, maybe it attracts as much attention nationally because of the quarterbacks and the offenses, et cetera.
It's a newer rivalry. Yeah.
But these are two AFC East rivals. Right. There's no love lost between them.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right. Nobody cares. I mean, certainly the Jets are hungry for a win, but I can tell you that they really could care less. I mean, I think they're looking at this game as more of like, we just have to beat the Patriots because they're the Patriots, not because we're sitting at 1-5 and we need a win right now. Like, that's just what this game boils down to.
It's like a college rivalry. I mean, you're a Georgia fan. It's like
that's
Georgia versus Georgia Tech, even.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
That's
Georgia versus Florida, regardless of what the records are.
Right. That's always Georgia, Florida is. Yeah. No one wants to see one.
No respect for the Yellow Jackets.
But they're
but
the
anyway,
in-state rival.
Saying,
you know, they're the in-state. They're ACC.
Yeah,
ACC.
I understand.
You know,
I understand
they can't hang.
SEC.
They can't hang. It's like that. It's like any rivalry, in any sport. But it's going to be a good matchup for sure. I think, hopefully Tom Brady really had a lot of time to throw last week, I thought, against the Bills. Like, the offensive line did a really good job. So, that to me is what this game is all about.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Rex Ryan dials up a lot of blitzes as he usually does after the Bills really tried to get to Brady with their four-man front more so than by blitzing. Got a thought, prediction tomorrow night?
I'm going to say I kind of want to keep it close. I'm going to say the Patriots win by a field goal. That's what I'm going to go with. Patriots win by a field goal. I think it's going to be a bloodbath.
So you're basically saying a repeat of last year when the Patriots won 13-10
on a
rainy Thursday in week
two.
Yeah,
exactly, a repeat. Hey, everything else is pretty much aligning up to be what happened last year. And we actually have I'm going to do another little just inform people that Patriots All Access is tonight.
Yep.
And, it's cool because you get to see Coach Belichick. Zoe sits down with Coach Belichick and talks about the Bills game, obviously, but a little bit of Jets insight, too. So it's going to be a good little informative show tonight.
Definitely good stuff. It's Patriots All Access on WBZ, CBS affiliate in Boston. If you don't have it and you're logging on outside of the area, you can log on to Patriots.com after it airs on local television.
That's right.
And watch All Access. In fact, all the All Access telecasts are archived on
That's
Patriots.com.
That's right. Yep. You can, because we know that a lot of the fans are outside of New England.
And don't bury the lead. Scott Zolak sits down with Bill Belichick, but Jackie Britton will contribute as well.
Right. I know. I just got my card, so I'm like, trying to study all of them.
Forget Zolak. She's why I tune in.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
I'll let you get back to that preparation.
Oh, okay.
And again, you know, you might want to reconsider, instead of asking or speaking the question, maybe singing those questions.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that tonight. I'll just sing all of my leads and tags. That's what I'll do.
I think we need to have a little recording session with Jackie.
I know. I need to redeem myself because that you have is just not good for anyone.
On like a quiet day in the off season, you and I, we can talk about some material.
That's usually when all that weirdness happens is in the off season.
Do you do the thing when you sing into the mic where you like hold your ear?
Oh, like Jessica Simpson style? Yeah. I could pull that out. Yeah, Jessica Simpson's the best at that. All right, sorry.
Yeah, you know, I've never figured that out. A lot, you know, some play-by-play guys do that, but it's universal.
It seems what does it mean? Like, is it something you're trying to hear, or is it too loud? I don't get it. I don't know. I can see Bob trying to call the game looking like Dr. Dre or something like that. Maybe it's just a look. Maybe there's really nothing to it.
I don't know. Maybe we'll consider it here. Try to make more sense.
I do want to say, you talked about what your daughter wants to be for Halloween. What are you going to be for Halloween, Bob?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jack. I might just steal one of these fat heads off the doors here and go as Tom Brady or Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah, that'd be good. I think you should go as Zoe.
A little taller than I am. Go as Zoe.
Yeah, go
as Zoe. He's a little taller than me,
too. I think he'd appreciate that. Yeah.
I do have a big head.
Zoe and I, it's hard to have a head as big as Zoe's, though. You can tell him I said that.
And you're speaking both literally and figuratively?
Maybe.
All right.
I'll let you assume there.
And we kid because we love Scott Zolak.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. He's like a brother.
All right. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Jackie Brand of Patriots Today and Patriots All Access again tonight on WBZ in Boston and as well on Patriots.com. We've got a full second half of the show. We've got Casey Walker, the Patriots rookie, who's played in two games as a defensive tackle since being signed off the practice squad of the Carolina Panthers. Former Patriot Tony Collins will join us live in the second hour. He'll talk about one of the great performances in franchise history against the New York Jets in 1983, but also speak of more important work that he's doing in the community after writing about his own personal story. And it's a story of perseverance and overcoming a lot of personal demons, if you will. He'll be with us. And then Ian Eagle, who will be calling the game tomorrow night for Westwood One and recently called the Patriots Week 2 victory over the Minnesota Vikings for CBS, one of the great broadcasters of our time. We'll be on the show as well coming up at 5:40. But first, it's Casey Walker, then it's Tony Collins, a current Pat and a former Patriot, up next on the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile. For a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. they now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
Welcome back. We do have a couple of emails, in fact, in the queue, and one comes from Peter from Connecticut, who also notes, in addition to offering a question and a comment, that the Patriots game was not on the Fox affiliate where he lives in Connecticut. That's certainly disappointing. The Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, an AFC matchup last week, shifted to Fox from CBS under the presumption that more people would have an opportunity to see it because of the schedules of games for CBS and Fox. It would have been broadcast only to the Buffalo and New England markets on CBS, whereas the greater part of the country was able to watch that game in the regional coverage for Fox Sports on Sunday. But unfortunately, Peter did not see that game on his Fox affiliate in Connecticut, and that's disappointing. Hopefully he had a chance to listen to it on the radio and tune in our radio network, of course, with our flagship 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, his comment with regards to tomorrow night's game is that the Jets have better running backs and a better run defense. And I don't think anybody could dispute on a whole that the Jets have been better against the run defensively than the Patriots the last couple of years, in particular with that defensive line of Richardson and Wilkerson, the linebacking core led by David Harris, among others. The Jets this season allowing only 3.5 yards rushing per game, although taking a different defensive approach against the Denver Broncos, with Rex Ryan deploying his linebackers in pass coverage more than in run support. Ronnie Hillman of the Broncos, of all people, ran for 100 yards on Sunday. one wouldn't expect him to do that against the Patriots and Tom Brady, but still you never know. And, of course, the Patriots' run game now is without Stephen Ridley, while the Jets have Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson. However, neither of those guys the last few weeks has been as productive as many would anticipate. There have been flashes. Ivory had a long run against the Oakland Raiders, a 71-yard touchdown run in week number one this season. That enabled him to reach the century mark. But Johnson has been a guy who has yet to get going in the manner the Jets were hoping for. 51 carries, fewer than 4 yards per rush, and that includes a 35-yard touchdown run several weeks ago. Again, in part because of the circumstances, they fell behind in a big way early against San Diego. They were down early against Denver last Sunday. But nonetheless, the Jets have not run the ball as effectively as one would expect under Rex Ryan with those two backs. And Johnson, one of the guys the Jets went out and got as a free agent in the offseason. Chris Johnson coming off the 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons to begin his career as a Tennessee Titan. And, again, I think with the Patriots, a lot of their success in the run game comes from their passing and vice versa. The Pats did not run it well against the Buffalo Bills. If they're to run it well against the New York Jets, perhaps we're going to have to see them do it out of more passing sets, passing formations with the likes of Shane Vereen to take advantage of that Jets aggressiveness if Ryan goes back to his old calling card and dials up a lot of blitzes. Now, another comment comes in from Brad Thomas, who believes that Darrelle Revis should be the defensive quarterback now that Jerod Mayo is out of the lineup. And, you know, it would be certainly unusual and might even be unique for a cornerback to be employed in that role. One would think that on Thursday night, tomorrow night, we will see Dante Hightower inherit the green dot as a linebacker playing inside like last year when Jerod Mayo went out. If that's not the case, then Devin McCourty is a guy who has a safety, of course, also helps to get the defense organized as a quarterback. Jamie Collins has worn the green dot in the preseason as well. But it would certainly be very unusual to see a cornerback in that kind of role. Again, when you're talking about a view of the field and the ability to communicate with everybody on the defensive lineup, and when you've got a cornerback who's on one side of the field or the other and not surveying the middle of the field, and again, with a line of communication to all his teammates. But it certainly is a group effort. You know, we talk about the guy with the green dot, as we've been reminded the last couple of days by both Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower in conversations in the Patriots locker room with reporters. It's certainly a group effort to get the defense organized play to play. But certainly Jerod Mayo has been the QB of that defense heretofore, and he will be missed in that regard. Well, we talked with Casey Walker yesterday, speaking of visiting with Patriot players in the locker room. And Casey is a defensive tackle out of the University of Oklahoma who spent last year on the Carolina Panthers practice squad, at least most of last year on the practice squad for the Panthers, was back there again this season before the Patriots signed him a couple of weeks ago and activated him for the Cincinnati Bengals game. And he made a resounding hit against Jeremy Hill to send a message early last Sunday night before playing well against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday afternoon. We began our conversation with a very likable young man, it seems, very outgoing and a very pleasant personality, Casey Walker, by asking him just how fortunate he feels to be a part of the Patriots organization, given this opportunity now as an active NFL player after biding his time on the Panthers practice squad.
I get to live out my dream to play football. So, I'm just thankful for the organization, for Coach Belichick to give me this opportunity, you know.
What was it like? Who informed you? How do you learn of your acquisition by one organization from another? You know, especially at that point in time, you identify yourself as a Carolina Panther.
How the process went, it was kind of weird because on Wednesday, LaFell had text one of the linebackers in Carolina. He was like, hey, the Patriots asked about you. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. They just asked. But then later that day after practice, my agent called and was like, they called. So I was like, all right, well, maybe something will go on. And then a couple days went by, and then that Friday around 4 o'clock, they went ahead and picked me up. They claimed me.
And when that happens, who contacts you from the Patriots, and what are the first things you're told coming over to this organization?
The first person that contacted me was, I believe it was Kevin.
Kevin Anderson?
Yeah, I believe so. And they was like, you know, this is it's a great opportunity for you. We're going to bring you in and see if you can, help us out. Because Silva had just went down, and that was about it. You know, it's kind of like one of those opportunity periods. If I can come in and pick up the defense and play, which I did.
We're joined by Casey Walker. You played at a high level of college football, of course, for the Sooners in the Big 12. Coming out of a school like Oklahoma, I imagine you've got to feel very confident that you can play at the next level in the NFL. Was that the case for you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially because I was on practice squad last year as my rookie year on Carolina. And then playing in the preseason, all four preseason games, and then going through practice, and then playing in these preseason games. But as far as college-wise, it helped me out because coming to a system like this, the exact same system we ran in Oklahoma, I had to learn Carolina's system, which is get off. You know, you got a gap, get off. This one is read and attack. So it was kind of similar to what we did in Oklahoma, so I felt at home.
Before I ask you about this particular scheme, reading and reacting and attacking as a Patriot, to go back with the Panthers, when you're playing on the practice squad, I guess everybody does so with the realization that somebody else could call. You're not only playing for that team, right, but you're really playing for all 32 teams in the NFL.
Right.
So how did you prepare yourself to learn not only what you had to do with the responsibilities for the Panthers, but also just in general refine the techniques of your game? You're simulating the opposition, but you're also wanting to improve individually.
Well, you know, my mindset was, you know, for every preseason game was to go out and help the team. You know, everybody wants to be a team player. That's what coaches love. That's what GMs like, everything. So I was there as a Panther to help the team and to do whatever I could. And I guess that's what the Patriots seen, you know. But with me helping the team, I also made plays, you know, so the defense works. I played within the defense, so that was my whole mentality, and, you know, it helped. So I'm here.
Did you simulate the Patriots a year ago? Were you playing the role of one of the New England defensive linemen when the Panthers were preparing for that Monday night game?
No, I had got released. I got released, so I was not there. I was in Carolina last year until, like, week 8 or 9, and then they had let me go. And then called me back on future contract after they had lost in the playoff.
How do you describe to those who aren't familiar with what it's like to be in that situation where from one week to another you could be out of work? What's it like when you're a player and you're trying to make your way in the NFL?
Man, it's hard. It's extremely hard, especially in my position because I have a wife and a baby. I got a one-year-old, so they had came up to Carolina for like maybe like a month, and then I had got released, so I had to move back to Dallas and then find a job. And, you know, just it's hard. It's really hard. But, you know, I kept my head down. I kept working, and, you know, God bless me.
Were there guys around the league you looked to as examples? Because even in this locker room now, people like Rob Ninkovich, for example, a very good defensive player, but it took him some time in several organizations to finally find his niche. Did you look around at other examples with the Panthers or other teams around the league, guys you knew who did the same thing?
I don't know him, but I read, oh my goodness, what's his name, from the Pittsburgh, what was the outside linebacker? James Harrison. I read his story and how he was cut and brought back several different times, went to a whole different team, cut, brought back to Pittsburgh until, you know, it took an injury for him to get on the field and show what he had. And then he just excelled from there. So seeing things like that and people like that that's been in that position, I knew that it wasn't the end of the road, that I just had to get my opportunity, and I did.
And at the same time, it's just a matter, in many cases, of being in the right system,
that's
or
right,
at least not having a lot of guys in front of you who've
right,
already established themselves on the Panthers at a very good defense last year.
That's right, that's right. You know, I was fortunate to go to the Panthers, but then kind of a bad situation because I came in with a first-round D-tackle and a second-round D-tackle. Then they picked me up in a free agent. So it didn't matter talent-wise. They was going to be there, you know what I'm saying? But not to not take away from any of those guys. Those guys are balling out there. You know, they're good. So I was in a bad position.
Well, now Casey Walker's in a good position to help this Patriots team. You mentioned the injury to Silver Salinga, and you've come in and made an impact, as noted, and you did so with a loud hit and a hard hit against Jeremy Hill, very strong, powerful running back of the Cincinnati Bengals. Is that, in your mind, I mean, the epitome of the kind of player you want to be, somebody who's stout up front and sends a message in more ways than one?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. I look at Sue a lot, and, you know, the aggression and the anger that he plays with, I try to simulate that, you know, with me, but in the same, I play in my same, my comfort zone, you know, but yeah, you know, I'm gonna bring it every play. You're gonna see 98 out there every play, regardless.
Because in this defense too, though, as you noted, you not only have to attack, you have to read first. So how do you balance that aggressiveness with your responsibility to not be overly aggressive?
Once I see where he's moving to, the offensive lineman, or if Dante or Mayo or somebody I have a stunt, then I'm gone. But once I read and see where he's going and the play develops, then I can be aggressive on it. And once the ball commits and my gap or the gap next to me, I will be aggressive and throw off and try to make the tackle.
In Casey, you mentioned a guy like Gerard Mayo. Now, of course, he'll be missing in action for this team. But what kind of an impact has he had on you? Veteran leader, someone well respected, not only here with the Patriots, but around the NFL.
Like you said, respected leader, especially in his locker room. Him and Vince was the first guys I looked towards asking about the playbook, helping me get the plays and knowing, you know, when you make this call, what does this mean? Oh, okay, when this call, what does that mean for me? So, I mean, it's a tragedy that he went down. I hate the fact that he went down the way that he did, especially for the player that he is, because even with me being here for these couple of weeks, I mean, I can just tell he gives his heart and soul for this defense. And with him out, you know, it hurts a little bit. But we got confidence in Hightower and Jamie and everybody else that they're going to step right in, which they did Sunday.
What kind of an example can you share, talking about Vince Wilfork and his leadership and helping you in the meeting room? In what way would he exert that leadership or tutelage to help a guy like yourself?
Let me see. Kansas City. We was after the defensive meeting, he stayed and we got on the board and he called out plays and he made me write them down on the board. And so he was like, okay, that's good, or no, or whatever the case may be. He critiqued it or whatever, and just helped me get to the position where I am now, and I'm still learning. So, you know, good guy.
The real teacher-pupil relationship, in a sense.
Oh, of course. You know, he's been here for 11 plus years, you know, so who not to ask for help for, you know?
You mentioned your family. You have a one-year-old. Mm-hmm. Son or girl? A daughter?
Little girl.
And is she here with you when you make a move like that? You join the Patriots, and a lot, I know it's a whirlwind experience. You're picking up and you're relocating. Have you had a chance to bring the family here to New England?
They'll be here Friday, so I'm super pumped.
You got to be, because you guys spend so much time working and so much time away from your family.
I've seen them one time in 4 months, so I'm pumped. It's been a long time.
Be nice to celebrate a victory.
That's right.
After Thursday's game with your wife and child. All the best to you, Casey. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
And again, our thanks to Casey Walker, the young, very likable defensive tackle for the Patriots, who joined us yesterday in the locker room. And now we turn our attention to a former Patriot who joins us by way of our Ace Ticket hotline. He's a running back for the Patriots from the early to late 80s, who shined against the New York Jets in particular, and later shared his own personal journey in the form of a book, Broken Road, Turning My Mess into a Message, and now conveys that story on repeated visits to area schools and speaking to kids throughout the area and as well elsewhere, and as well conducts his own good work through his Tony Collins Foundation. And we're pleased to be joined by Tony Collins, who takes time to visit with us. Tony, thank you so much. How are you today? Tony, can you hear me now? How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Thank you so much. I want to talk to you about your story as you shared it in your book and tell it to kids in particular, and as well visit a bit about your foundation. But first, since we're on the eve of the Patriots and the Jets, let's talk for a few minutes, if we can, about one of the greatest performances in Patriots history, certainly the single-game greatest rushing effort in New England Patriots history. A 23-13 win over the Jets, September 18th, 1983. You had five runs of 20 yards or more, and against a good New York defense, ran for 212 yards to break Jim Nance's franchise record. What do you remember about the circumstances of that day and that game?
Wow, that was a long time ago, huh? You know what? You know, the one thing I remember that game, that the holes were so wide open, man. You know, I had one of the best linemen blocking for me that day. Who I know everybody knows John Hanna. So it was a big day for myself, and man, it just came so easy. Like I said, the line just was blocking great. Mostly the Tubu, my fullback, along with Mark Van Egan. It was one of those days that, you know, you always dream about, and it happened for you.
See, that's the sign of a good running back. He never forgets those guys up front or that fullback who leads the way too.
Oh yeah, man. Without, you know, okay, what kind of, how good a running back is, if you don't have blocking in front of you, man, you're in trouble. So it was a great victory for us as well, but one of the days that I always remember in Patriots history.
Tony, you rushed for more than 4,600 yards for the Patriots in your career with New England. Of course, you were part of a team that won the AFC Championship, a surprise to get to the Super Bowl in the eyes of many. What other highlights for you from your career stand out in addition to that 200-yard performance against the Jets?
I think one of the other things, too, that I used to love doing was coming out of the backfield catching the ball. And I think one year I caught 77 passes for a running back coming out of the backfield, which is pretty good back in the 80s. They didn't throw a lot to the running backs back then. So it was one of the things that I wanted to try to be an all-around back, and one of the things that I really pride myself on, not just running the ball and not just catching the ball, but also blocking. I got the nickname being the Blade because I was cutting people down, blocking for Mosty, and also blocking for Craig James. So just being an all-around back was pretty good. And making it to the Super Bowl, our Super Bowl run was probably one of the greatest memories for us. And, you know, being the first Patriot team that made it to the Super Bowl, that was really exciting. It wasn't exciting playing in the game, but it was exciting getting there.
Well, I think your versatility is interesting, too, because as you mentioned, back in those days, we didn't see teams throwing underneath to running backs as frequently now as we do now. I mean, running backs are very integral in the passing offense. How did your role develop in that regard?
Well, one of the things that when I was in East Carolina, we ran a wishbone offense, so we didn't throw the ball a lot, hardly at all, especially not to the backs. But one thing that I did while I was at East Carolina, we had a jug machine, and I made sure I caught a lot of balls, even though I knew I wasn't going to get so many balls. But, you know, I had the big picture in mind. I know if I made it to the next level, I would have to be able to catch the ball to be that all-around back. So that's something that I worked on when I was in college, and I brought that when I made it to into the league. So it's something that you pride yourself in. You know, there's a lot of great backs today that can come out of the backfield and catch the ball and do a lot of great things.
We're visiting with Tony Collins, a former Patriot who was the second-round draft choice of the Pats in 1981 out of, as Tony mentioned, East Carolina University, and really had a terrific career with New England before finishing his NFL career with the Miami Dolphins and playing a bit in the Arena League as well. But, Tony, late in your career, you had to deal with some issues off the field, which you characterized in your book, Broken Road, Turning My Mess into a Message, and convey to kids throughout the area and elsewhere on numerous stops and with your foundation, the Tony Collins Foundation. You've written about your reliance first on painkillers and then use of marijuana and eventually cocaine. You, first of all, one of 16 kids to grow up in a small upstate New York town of Penn Yan and come out of Penn Yan Academy, go to East Carolina, make it to the NFL. You were very driven, very focused, as I understand it. Your dad was a deacon, so you were really a straight-arrow kid. How did you take the wrong turn, so to speak, in your life?
One of the things that I talk about now, Bob, is choices and opportunities. You know, I came from a great family. You know, I was number 15 of 16 kids. You know, we went to church every Sunday. And I had a determination as a young kid to make it to the league, and I worked really hard, and I stayed focused, and I had a great childhood, man. No drugs, no alcohol, none of that stuff. It was all about God and going to church and trying to be the best person that you could possibly be. One of the things that I remember mostly is when I got to the league, my rookie season, Vegas Ferguson and Horace Ivory were the two backs that were ahead of me. I was the third string running back on the team, and I wanted to be the first string running back. And so I worked hard. I learned my plays, and you know, the first week of training camp, Horace Ivory goes down, so that move up to the second string running back. Third or fourth week, Vegas Ferguson goes down, and I move up to the number one back. I was the only healthy back to start the game against the Baltimore Colts, and my career was off and running. The one thing that I remember about when I took those guys' jobs from them, they recently, after that, got cut from the team. And so I made it pretty much a vow to myself that I was never going to let anybody come in and take my job, or especially a rookie come in and take my job. And I was going to work that much harder, and I did. And then one year, I think it was my fourth year in the league when I got the cracked ribs, and because I had to stay on the field, because back then, if you didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday during the week, you didn't play on Sunday unless your name was Russ Francis. So I had to stay on the field, and when I got the cracked ribs, I started taking painkillers to stay on the field. I would get injections before the game and injections at halftime, and then, you know, taking those painkillers, it was tearing my stomach up. And of course, a teammate of mine said something about, you know, if you smoke a little marijuana, take the nausea away from you, because the painkillers were really tearing my stomach up because I was taking so many. I'd be taking painkillers all the way through practice, all the whole week of practice, and then I'd pile up during the game time. And so hit marijuana for the very first time. Sure enough, takes the nausea away from me. And then that whole year, it was just cheating the system and, you know, popping the pills, smoking a little marijuana. And then, you know, the worst thing came. I started hanging around people that I shouldn't have been hanging around with. One of the things my father used to always tell us, one of the keys of being successful is surrounding yourself with successful people. And I wasn't doing that. I kind of like drifted away from what I was taught and started hanging around up that I shouldn't have been hanging around, and started making some choices that I should have been making. So that's the reason I do my talks today into the schools and going into the communities, and whoever wants to listen to me telling my story, how, you know, God actually really spared my life because some of the choices that I was leading to death, and I really shouldn't be talking on the phone with Bob, I'm going to tell you right now, I should be dead, and God spared my life. And so I wasted 18 years of my life just being negative and going through a lot of stuff. And so I got a lot of catching up to do, getting my story out and helping as many people as I can. And one of the keys of anybody being successful is being a giver. And that's what I want to do. I want to give my life, dedicate my life back to going into the high schools and telling these kids that, you know, it's all about choices, and the better choices that you make, the more opportunities you're going to receive. And that's my mission right now.
We're visiting with Tony Collins, former Patriot and the author of the book Broken Road, Turning My Mess into a Message. Tony, you eventually earned your college degree at the age of 52, and as you've noted, you go into schools and speak to kids. What was the turning point in that dark chapter of your life? What was the turning point for you to turn things around and make this impact in a positive way?
What there was a time when I was really just existing through life, living through my oldest son. My oldest son was getting ready to go off to the University of Pittsburgh, and I just really getting him prepared because he wanted to play in the NFL as well. And so I really wasn't, I didn't care about me. I just was living through him. And one day I got this job where I thought I was going to be working, talking with kids and helping kids out. And I get to the job, and I'm on the phone all morning talking to the parents of the kids, and I didn't want to be there. And so I had a plan. My plan was once lunchtime came, I was going to go to McDonald's, and I wasn't coming back to the job. This is the very first day on the job. And so I get to McDonald's. I order number one, a Big Mac, order fries, and a high-C drink. And when I got the high-C drink, something on the inside said, man, you need to go back to the job. I was going home. I forget about this job. But I made the choice to go back to the job. And when I got back to the job, I didn't want to be there, picking up the phones, and one of the co-worker that was sitting beside me, he left his phone, and his phone was ringing. Now, this seems like a long story, but I got to tell you this. His phone was ringing, and I made a choice, and that's why I always talk to the kids. It's all about choices. I made a choice to pick up his phone, and on the other end of the phone was this lady from San Antonio, Texas. I was living in Miami at the time, and we started talking. We started talking about her son, and she started telling me about her son, how her son played football. You know, I started telling her about my son playing football. Long story short, we exchanged numbers, and she started emailing me, and she started sending me different emails and different texts, everything positive. I was actually a negative person for about 18 years, just everything negative. One of the things I talk to the kids about, when you think negative and you speak negative, you're going to get negative results, and that was what happened to me. And she started me on the positive trail. It took one person to change my way of thinking. And so that's when I changed my way of thinking, and it took one person from me. So that's why I go into these schools. You know, if I only change one kid from them making a better choice and for them having a successful life, you know, I've really done what I'm supposed to do. So we're trying to affect as many kids as possible and making this, a plan. Because here's the deal. When you live and you make mistakes, why not help somebody that so they won't make the same mistakes? And that's really the only thing that I'm doing. I'm just giving my life back and sharing with these kids or sharing whoever wants to listen that, you know, it's never too late to achieve your goals. If you think it and you believe it and you can make it happen, and you know, hard work pays off, and you know, these are some of the things that I talk to these kids about, and that's on my heart, and that's a passion for me right now, to help as many kids as possible.
And you help one kid, who knows how many generations you will affect.
You're absolutely right.
How many speaking engagements do you do, Tony, in a given week, in a given month?
Wow. It's been a busy year. Once the book came out 2 years ago, it's been picking up, and I can't complain not one bit. I travel a lot. I'm actually up here, I'm going to be up there in Boston November, I think it's the 2nd or the 3rd. I'm speaking at a few schools in Rhode Island, and I do probably on the average about 15 schools a month, and that's how it's been these past 4 or 5 months, and it's been going really good. Been away from home a lot, but it's all about giving back.
And do you have a lot of former teammates, as I understand it, who've helped you with your foundation? Guys have done different events with one another, so is it nice
absolutely.
To give back?
I do a golf tournament every year back in my hometown. One of the things that when I was those 18 years that I wasted, I stayed away from Boston, the Rhode Island area. I stayed away from East Carolina. I stayed away from Penn Yan, my hometown, for 18 years. And so that's why I say I got so much catching up to do. That's why I love coming back to Boston now. And I moved back to Greenville, where East Carolina is, and I'm doing a lot of things right down there, working for FCA, fellow Christian athletes, and just telling my story and helping as many kids as possible. And Steve Rogans, Stanley Morgan, Urban Fryer, all those guys will come and attend my golf tournament that I have put on back home.
Boy, some great names in this franchise's history from Tony Collins. And, Tony, you guys, in many respects, overshadowed by the Patriot dynasty of the early mid-2000s and, of course, the team with Tom Brady, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, et cetera, et cetera. But I still believe that group, again, is as good a group as any in the franchise's history when you look at some of those guys that you mentioned. And I imagine fans don't forget here, do they?
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. We had a great team. We had a good defense. Steve Nelson and Andre Tippett and Raymond Claiborne and, Julius Adams. I mean, those guys were, man, those guys are great to play with. One of the things I tell everybody I miss the most, it's the camaraderie with those guys. When Raymond Berry came in, he kind of changed our way of thinking as well. He taught us how to win. Before he got there, we really didn't know how to win. And I credit Coach Berry for a lot of that, because he brought in a legacy with him. Because he's a Hall of Famer. The guys respected him, and You know, it was really a special team, that Super Bowl team, when we went to in 86, Super Bowl 20.
Well, Tony Collins, I really appreciate your time today. Again, the book is Broken Road, Turning My Mess into a Message, and you can find out more about Tony by logging on to TonyCollinsFoundation.com. And we certainly appreciate a few minutes to reminisce about that game in 83, but more so about the good work that you're doing today and will continue to do. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's been a pleasure, man.
All right, hopefully we can talk again before too long and see you around Gillette.
Yeah, just let me know. Just give me a call. You guys got my number.
All right, we'll be in touch. Thanks so much, Tony.
All right, Bob, thanks.
Okay, Tony Collins again, former Patriot running back who rushed for more than 4,600 yards in his New England Patriot career, including a 1,000-yard season in 1983 when he scored 10 touchdowns for the Pats. He talked about his role as a receiver. He had 52 catches for New England for 549 yards a couple of years later for the Patriots, part of that Super Bowl run for the Pats, again with Steve Grogan, Tony Eason, and again eventually falling to the Chicago Bears in Super Bowl 20. But Tony Collins, a very good football player during his career, to say the least, and now doing very good work after really a dark time in his life. And nice to chat with Tony after all these years following that 212-yard performance against the New York Jets back in 1983. Again, the Patriots and the Jets coming up tomorrow night from Gillette Stadium. I'll have the local, and I say local, meaning the New England radio call with Scott Zolak on the Patriots Radio Network on our flagship station, 98.5. But the game can be heard outside of New England on Westwood One at Ian Eagle. We'll be calling that game alongside Boomer Esiason. Ian was in the CBS television booth in week two of this year's campaign when the Patriots took on the Minnesota Vikings and beat the Vikings in that week two encounter in Minneapolis, and he's going to join us in just a couple of minutes here on the Bob Soucy Show, and we hope you'll reach out as well on web radio at patriots.com. That's web radio at patriots.com, he tried to say, as well as on our Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Couple of numbers to consider with regards to tomorrow night's game between the Patriots and the Jets, and it's an area that certainly is a precursor usually to victory for a team that's on the plus side in the NFL or any other level of college football. The positive side of a turnover margin, and the Patriots are plus 9 coming into this Week 7 matchup. 14 takeaways for the Pats, including 3 from Buffalo, 5 giveaways for the Patriots. And meanwhile, for the New York Jets, they sit at minus 3, tied with the Washington Redskins for the worst turnover differential in the NFL. Just 3 takeaways for Rex Ryan's defense versus 12 giveaways for the Jets thus far. And again, so you've got the Patriots going in at plus 9, and you've got the Jets sitting at minus 9 in turnover differential thus far. And considering the Patriots' 14 takeaways, significant improvement over 2013 for the Pats in that regard. And again, Tom Brady protecting the ball, just the 2 interceptions for the quarterback. So even while the Patriots' offense was not its usual efficient unit that we've become accustomed to through the years for the first 4 games of the season, nonetheless, they, for the most part, didn't turn the ball over. And you know, the one exception being Kansas City, of course. And these last couple of weeks, they've been on track producing against Cincinnati as well as against the Buffalo Bills while protecting the ball and then making plays on top of it. And the Patriots, again, with that plus 9 turnover differential, best in the NFL, as opposed to the Jets at negative 9. Again, tied for the worst in the National Football League going into tomorrow night's game. Well, I spoke of Ian Eagle a few moments ago, one of the best in our business as the voice of CBS and as well Westwood One, and he'll be on the national radio call tomorrow working with Boomer Esiason. Speaking of his work with CBS Television, he's one half of that famous tandem, the Bird and the Beard. Ian Eagle, as you might guess, is the clean-shaven one, and he joins us now on the Bob Soucy Show. Always great to chat with a guy who's not only one of the best, as I mentioned, but one of the better guys in this business as well. Ian, thanks for taking time.
Bob, you got it. I actually made a pledge this year to Dan, the Beard, that as a sign of unity, I would grow a beard, and we would be the Beard and the Beard. But unfortunately, I spoke with some professionals in the grooming industry. They told me it would take 3.5 years, so it's going to take a while.
Yeah, you know, we've got a couple of guys on this Patriots team who have hair replacement endorsement deals.
I've heard about that.
Yeah,
Yeah, what a boom that's been for the Pats and for the hair replacement industry together.
Yeah, and Bears have been very big in New England, as you might have heard, the last couple of years in the sports arenas here.
Yeah, I've heard about hair replacement well after the fact. This is really the first time that I've seen athletes actually seeking out a deal and going public with it. So this is a new era in this category, Bob.
Yeah, how times have changed. Well, it's going to be another rainy Thursday for the Patriots and the Jets, just like last year when the Pats beat the Jets 13-10. Ian, you're coming to New England, Foxborough, for tomorrow night's game. The Jets 1-5, five straight losses, but they've gone up against a gauntlet of very good quarterbacks these last 5 weeks. Where do you put the Jets right now? How do you characterize them? Is it true what Bill Parcells used to say? You are what your record says you are?
Yeah, in this particular case, I think it does. This team won their first game against Oakland, started the season on a high, went to Green Bay, took a 21-3 lead against the Packers in the first half at Lambeau, and that now feels like 3 years ago. They have not been able to generate any kind of consistent offense. Defensively, which was supposed to be a strength of this team, went into San Diego, got embarrassed by Phillip Rivers, 31-0 loss. Carry over into Denver actually was not what many people thought it would be. Jets played well early. I worked that game with Dan on CBS this past weekend. They were stout defensively against Peyton Manning. They confused him early in the game, but had an issue, a muffed punt. While they didn't give up points following that muffed punt, it did change field position, flip the field on them, and at that point, they never really recovered. They got pinned deep in their own territory. Denver took advantage of it, and eventually it just looked easy for them. Julius Thomas, a couple of touchdowns. Demaryius Thomas, a touchdown. And the Jets, they don't really have a whole lot to hang their hat on, Bob, right now from a positive standpoint. Rex Ryan dealing with a lot of questions about his future and about the future of this team, questions about all the money that they didn't spend, John Idzik, the general manager of the team. So I think the Jets come in here beyond desperate. I don't think desperation is even the word. The word that's popped up has been disarray, and that's a word that you look to avoid, as we know, in sports.
Another word is dysfunctional or disconnect, and Rex Ryan bristled at the notion yesterday on his conference call with Patriot reporters, was asked about his dysfunctional team and took exception to it.
Yep.
And there seems from afar to be this disconnect, even from the outset, and though John Idzik signed Rex Ryan to a contract extension last year, between the GM and the coach. You're around that team in the preseason on a regular basis and as noted during the regular campaign for CBS. What's your sense of the situation?
I actually think that relationship has been better than has been depicted and portrayed. I think Idzik and Rex Ryan found common ground. Both of their fathers were coaches in the NFL. There was a bond there. I'm not sure Idzik thought of himself as a guy that would instantly bond with Rex Ryan, but they found a nice working relationship. The issues for Rex will be if this thing completely bottoms out. If this is a 3-win team, 4-win team, then John Idzik's probably philosophy will be to get his own guy in there and attempt to build this team similar to the way that Seattle was built. The hard part is finding a Pete Carroll, who Patriots fans are certainly familiar with, and drafting the way that the Seahawks have. The Jets, they had 12 draft picks this year, Bob. 12 mm-hmm. players. This was supposed to be the draft that changed their team around. That was a big reason why they didn't spend all that money in free agency, saving that money for next year to blend the old with the new. And only two of those 12 players are actual contributors, Amaro and Pryor. That's it. That's not a high enough percentage when you're trying to build a team. And that's a deeper problem right now for the Jets. Everybody's talked about Rex Ryan's future, but trust me, John Idzik's future is going to pop up as well as people peel away all the layers of this team and try to figure out where this franchise is headed.
And a problem as well, speaking with Ian Eagle of CBS and Westwood One, when the quarterback you've committed to, having started him as a rookie last year and stayed with him in year two, has been as up and down, to put it kindly, as Geno Smith.
Yeah, and look, most people from the outside looking in have probably looked at the Jets situation and said, hey, play Michael Vick. What are you doing? You sign the guy to a contract, and you know that he knows how to run this Marty Morningweg offense. why aren't you trying to win with Michael Vick? The thought process right now, to me, is clearly they want to see what Geno Smith does in these situations, whether or not he can handle adversity, whether or not they can build with him moving forward. And that's a big reason why he's still in there. It's been 22 games in his NFL career, too many turnovers, not enough touchdowns, and at a point where you look at their personnel on offense, they're asking him to lift the level of play, not just blend in. This is not the best group of skill position players. So a lot of challenges right now, and you just figured Jets and Patriots would have a lot of juice because of where these two teams stood in the division and the expectations of the Jets. It just doesn't have that feeling right now because the Jets are limping around and trying to form an identity. But the Patriots have a chance to bury them. You move to 1-6 in this current NFL, they're just not good enough to come back from that. I would consider that irreparable.
And it's interesting that you would mention a quarterback needed to lift those around him, not considered maybe the best group of skill players in the league. Tom Brady, under tremendous scrutiny the first 4 weeks of this season, many questioning whether he could still elevate those players around him, and of course questioning whether the Patriots surrounded him with enough weapons, or criticizing the Patriots for not surrounding him with enough weapons. And what did you make of the hysteria in New England with regards to Brady and his future, maybe even outside of New England too, really on a national level?
Yeah, two things really stood out. When you've got a high-profile game like they had against Kansas City and such a thud, oftentimes you're going to get a lot of instant knee-jerk overreaction because that's where we're at in sports. It's just the internet age and the sports talk age. It's all part of the equation. So, look, I watched that game, and I was as shocked as everybody that the team was not competitive and they were overmatched the way that they were against the Kansas City Chiefs. With that said, and this links into part two, I think what ends up happening a lot in this business, certainly when you're talking about talk radio and columnists and blogs, if you start throwing things out there, at some point you're going to be right. And I find with the Patriots and with Tom Brady, what's happened a lot through the years, whenever there's been a dip, the easy storyline is, well, that's it. It's over. It's been such a great run. But now it's finally going to come to an end. And if you say it often enough, at some point the mentality for a lot of people that are writing it or saying it is that, well, it's that one of these times I'm going to be right. It's just that Brady and the Patriots continue to prove people wrong. So I've learned, at least from my perspective, not to jump to that conclusion with this particular player and with this particular coach and this front office and this ownership group. They always find a way. The next man up mentality, which is going to come into play once again now with Ridley and Mayo. I think there are many around the NFL that, again, would say, well, this is just too tough, too difficult to overcome. With this team and this franchise and that player, I just don't go there.
Yeah, since you mentioned those two guys, what's the national perception of Jerod Mayo and Stephen Ridley? When you talk to other people around the league, or the sense you get from your broadcast partners who played in the league?
Yeah, not superstars. I don't think that they're the first guys that are mentioned when you start talking about and having conversations about the best running backs and the best linebackers in the game. But there's an appreciation, certainly for Mayo, what he means to this team and the commitment level, the instincts, his all-around skills. There's something to be said for that. I think with the Pats, which often happens, there's sometimes a greater appreciation after the fact because they've been such a great team and a cohesive unit through the years, and Bill Belichick has pushed the right buttons and he's able to motivate in the way that he does. Sometimes individually, guys don't get the accolades that others may get. But when a few years go by and you reflect, you start thinking about, boy, you know, Teddy Bruschi, what a big role he played for that squad, or Kevin Faulk, or individuals that after the fact, you really tend to appreciate. I think Mayo probably ends up fitting into that group on a national scale. With Ridley, it's unfortunate, Bob, because I think we give out labels a lot and tags. It's just very common in today's media. But he got labeled as a fumbler, and whether that's fair or unfair, that was something that he had to overcome. And it's another guy that I've seen, multi-purpose, very physical. He can move the pile because of what he brings, but also has the ability to bust out some big plays. That's been a running back by committee for so long that the individual accomplishments aren't necessarily celebrated. But I think he's another guy that's well respected around NFL circles. I think it's a big loss. Big loss on both sides of the ball for those two guys. I know there are players that are capable of stepping in, but that's a big void. Certainly from the linebacker standpoint that we talked about with Mayo, and now at running back, there's just a little bit of a mystery as to how they're going to handle this. We know that Vereen's talented, but we've seen flashes of Bolden. We've seen very little of James White. How all of this plays out could play a big role in where the Patriots stack up in the AFC when the smoke clears.
And certainly with Mayo being absent, one would think that Rex Ryan is going to go back to the old ground-and-pound philosophy, all the more reason to run the ball with Johnson and Ivory. At least that's the way I look at it. What do you think about tomorrow's matchup and the best strategy for the Jets to employ?
Yeah, that's got to be it. And if you take the elements into account as well, and what we're expecting at Gillette, I don't think they're going to look to put a game plan together that Geno Smith is going to be the guy leading the charge. They're going to try to get back to Ivory and Johnson. They couldn't do it against Denver. In fact, they were limited to a grand total of 31 rushing yards against the Broncos. That's their lowest total since 2006. So that's how far they've fallen in that category. They actually were running the ball fairly well early in the season, and Ivory was probably the MVP of their offense in the early portion of the season. I have to get back to it, but Bob, as you know, having called these games and so many football games throughout your career, you also have to have some balance. There has to be the threat of being able to move the ball through the air, and I just don't think teams are respecting that part of the Jets' offense right now.
Well, Ian Eagle, taking time to join us again. He'll have the call tomorrow on Westwood One with Boomer Esiason, two of the busiest guys in broadcasting. Who actually is busier, you or Boomer? Because I know he's all over the place.
I think Boomer is busier, and Boomer also is a five-hour energy guy, which I've never taken. But Boomer will stack those up, and I've tried to explain to Boomer that just because you have three of them, that doesn't mean you're going to get 15 hours of energy. I believe the 5 hours, there's no carryover from bottle to bottle. So he'll be ready to go. He's fully wired by the time the game comes around. I can guarantee you that.
And are we going to see a better game tomorrow night than what you've been accustomed to seeing on Thursdays?
You know what's interesting, Bob? Because I've done these games now for 6 or 7 years, and there was a stretch where it was a half a season package, and then the last few years it's been a full season package. I've found that the games have not been great, these Thursday night games, even prior to this year, but it's getting a lot more attention now because it has been on a larger platform and CBS and all the build up week in and week out, prime time on an over the air network. But it's a concern. It's a concern for the league. There's so much money at stake. I fully understand why they do it. It's there. It's there for the taking. There's an audience for it. But I do think it is difficult on the players, that quick turnaround, not just physically, but the practice time. More than any other sport, there is a feeling of that team concept of it being in sync. And if you're not on your game as a team collectively, it will suffer and the product suffers. So we'll see. The rain probably is not going to lend itself to it being the prettiest of games, but maybe that does angle this one more towards the competitive side.
All right, Ian, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in the press box. Thanks again.
Bob, all the best. We'll talk soon, bud.
All right, Ian Eagle, And again, you don't get any better than that. Voice of CBS and Westwood One, our guest on the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com. And tomorrow night he'll have the national call. I'll be with Scott Zolak, of course, on the Patriots Radio Network on our flagship station in Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And in our final couple of minutes, looking ahead to the matchup tomorrow, I think, you know, Ian, per usual, touched on all the relevancies when the Patriots meet the Jets tomorrow night. Weather, a factor, no doubt, expected to be very rainy, heavy rain by night's end. Perhaps heavy wind.
Think of me when you're in that comfy booth, will you? While I'm out there on the sideline getting poured on.
Are you going to be on the sideline tomorrow?
I am, for every game.
I did not know that. I thought you were in a comfy booth somewhere too.
No, I'll be looking right across the way, you know, from our bench, pouring wet like a drowned rat.
Well, I'll be thinking of you, Kevin, as well as the thousands who will be at Gillette tomorrow.
Yeah, I spot you and Joe.
221st consecutive.
And Johnny Rook there, nice and warm and toasty in those booths, and I'm out there in the snow and the rain. I see you up there.
And you won't be comforted by the thought that I feel your pain?
I'll be comforted. It's better than Rook says, you know, I might be lucky if he offers me a cup of cocoa at halftime. So, you're a nice guy.
You come by our booth. And you'll have your choice of cocoa, coffee, or hot tea. How's that?
Then I can go see Boomer for a five-hour energy.
Yeah, there you go. because as Ian suggested, he's probably going to have a couple of extra bottles since taking three of them.
Yeah, apparently three of them helps. Yeah. And it sounds like both you and Ian, as talented as they come in the play-by-play field, both have guys that are hyper as your color guys.
Yeah, except his actually needs five-hour energy.
Yeah, Mine Zoe doesn't. Does not no. need – I can't even imagine what Zoe would be like on five-hour energy.
Sometimes Zoe might need a sedative as opposed to five-hour energy.
Yeah, but I can't imagine what some of the calls would be like with Zoe on five-hour energy.
In terms of endearment. But, anyway, it's going to be an energetic night tomorrow at Gillette. A big crowd, of course, per usual, another sellout at Gillette Stadium. Matchup of the Patriots and the Jets. The Jets are going to be desperate. 1-5, they've lost five in a row. They've got a defense that still presents a lot of problems, especially for the Patriots with their offensive line shorthanded. That front seven and that front three in particular, very, very good from New York. And offensively, if the Jets get that running game in gear, it should indeed be another close contest between these two teams who last year played two games decided by field goals. Patriots winning in the rain in Foxborough. Jets, of course, with that controversial ending in overtime when Nick Folk got a second chance to hit the game winner in the extra session. And we will talk all about it next week on the Bob Soucy Show from 4 to 6 on Patriots.com. We thank you for logging on and tuning in this week and for downloading the podcast as well. Now for my producer, Kevin Collins, this is Bob Soucy. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five, he dives to the end zone, touchdown, and the lead for the Patriots.
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right, Ridley dives to the goal line, he's in again, touchdown, Patriots.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning, play fake, a throw to the near side, ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving, break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.